All right, Dev with Crime Hive with another true crime story of how they were caught. And this story involves a couple who would unfortunately meet a very sinister end.
Crime Hive.
Crime Hive.
True crime buzz.
Josh Ford and Jeannie Crutchley were in love. They met each other apparently at an office party and would eventually move in together in Fairfax, Virginia. Well, one day they decided to rent a condo for Memorial Day weekend, and they went to Ocean City, Massachusetts, along the Atlantic shore, but they didn't show up for work after that weekend, and the couple never missed work. Co-workers were very concerned, so police would go to this rented condo to see if anything was amiss, but they didn't find anything inside that would indicate foul play or that a crime had occurred. However, in the parking lot, they found Jeannie's vehicle, and it had been accumulating dust. Police knew something might be a little off because they did find personal items inside the condo, such as clothing and Jeannie's car keys, a computer, a camera. Things were just left there, but neighbors didn't see or hear anything unusual. So police started looking into the couple's last few days before they went missing, and they learned that the couple had gone to a sports bar. They ended up taking a bus to a nearby nightclub in Ocean City. Well, police interviewed the bus driver, and the bus driver recalled the couple talking to another couple in their late 20s or early 30s. And the bus driver ID'd the victims from photos and recalled them speaking to another couple on the bus. And then other witnesses would witness that same couple drinking and hanging out with another couple. Both couples would ultimately leave this nightclub together, and then they would never be seen again. The couple who went missing had no more cell phone activity or credit card activity after they left this nightclub with this other couple. And police didn't really have many other leads to figure out who this other couple was so they could ask more questions. But they did get a lead about a week later when a Hooters restaurant silent alarm would go off, signaling a robbery in progress. And officers would see the Jeep backed up to the back door, and they would find two people with a bunch of items in their hands. A man and a woman were trying to steal from the Hooters, but they were arrested on scene. The couple were identified as Benjamin and Erica Siffret. They were married, they were intoxicated, and Benjamin was a former Navy SEAL, and neither had been arrested before. But in the vehicle were several guns. Erica had a .357 revolver. He had a 6-hour 9mm. In the vehicle was another .45 caliber combat weapon. Police would discover in her purse the Virginia driver's licenses of the missing couple. So this immediately gave police red flags that they're potentially involved in this missing person case. And that would give them enough probable cause to obtain a search warrant for their residence. The couple would deny meeting or seeing Josh Ford and Jeannie Crutchley. But when police went inside their residence, they found some pretty disturbing things. First off, let's start with their vehicle. Before police searched their home, in the back of their vehicle, there were ski masks and flex cuffs to potentially bind someone. That right there sent chills down their backs. Now, when police went inside their condo, on the table outside the dining room were two spent bullets. So these were bullets that had been fired, and on one of the bullets, it appeared there might be some blood evidence. On another one of the bullets was dried drywall or drywall dust. And so they thought that was odd. They found stacks of photos inside the condo. And in those photos were the missing couple. Now, what was really disturbing is police had located a ring in suspect Erica's purse. That ring was the same ring victim Josh wore on his hand. So that same ring was found in her purse, but she was also seen in a photo 2 days later wearing that ring around her necklace. So very odd there. Now, police would learn more about this couple when they talked to the bus driver again, showing the driver photos of the suspects. The driver identified the suspects as being with the missing couple the night they went missing. Evidence is starting to stack up against this couple, but there was more that police found inside their condo. In the bathroom specifically, there was an orange stain that was running down the side of a shower stall. It would later test for blood evidence. Now, police would pull out the sink stopper. Inside would find all kinds of hair with blood and flesh. And so they wanted to test this material for possible DNA. That's pretty disturbing if they're finding flesh in the sink area, especially when they looked under the sink and realized that there was a bullet hole that went through the wall. It matched the two bullets on the coffee table. Also in the bathroom on the glass window, police would obtain a partial palm print. They would test that print later on, and it would be a match to victim Josh. Now, the blood on the slug that was found on the table would also come back to Josh. What was really disturbing about this was Josh's DNA was on this spent bullet. So it appeared that the bullet had been dug out or pulled out of his body as a possible trophy. So very disturbing there. And they were able to confirm this DNA because they obtained samples of the victim's hairbrushes and toothbrushes and were able to composite a DNA profile for the couple. And then that DNA was matching all over in the bathroom, you know, the hair and the tissue samples, the blood evidence in the bathroom. It was matching up to the victims when the suspects had originally stated they didn't know the victims. They had never seen them. They never invited them over to their home. And this evidence is quickly dismissing the account that the suspect couple told police. Erica would eventually make a deal with prosecution. She basically turned on her husband, Benjamin, and would lead police to the victims' bodies. She would tell police that the couple was dismembered, essentially, and they were placed into dumpsters in the neighboring state of Delaware, which police would ultimately track to a landfill and specifically find the body parts of the victims in this landfill, because the landfill had quite a tracking system and they were able to pinpoint exactly where the trash from those dumpsters would have been, the general vicinity, and they were able to actually find body parts from the victims. Bullets fired in Josh's body would come back to match Erica's .357 revolver. And Erica would tell police that the couple just enjoyed the thrill of committing random crimes. It really excited them. And they just went on this spree of enjoying the thrill of crime. And she would even tell police more disturbing details about that night. She was attempting to save herself and make a deal so that she could get a lighter sentence compared to her husband. But this would backfire, as you'll find out in just a moment. Police are building this case against them. The problem was the gun was Erica's. The IDs from the victims were found in her purse. So there was more of a connection between her and this crime as opposed to her husband and this crime. And her husband would be doing the same thing. He would be out to save himself and point the blame at Erica. So they're both trying to wiggle out of this case, get lighter sentences, and turn on each other. But Erica's deal would fall apart because she admitted during a polygraph test that she was much more involved in this homicide. So she would tell police that she ultimately stabbed Jeannie with a knife and even got a tattoo of a snake near her abdomen in the same place that she stabbed Jeannie. And she said that this was a reminder that she was the one who had stabbed Jeannie, and she wanted to remember this incident. And she had actually ordered the killings. And so because of this, police took the deal off the table for her. She was looking at much more time. But police already had the information they wanted. They learned that Erica and Benjamin had really just played a really sinister game with the victims in pretending that they were missing things from her purse and wanted the couple to help find those items. But they ultimately would accuse the victims of stealing from them and said that if they couldn't find the missing items from her purse, that the couple would die. And so they had this really sick game they played before they would kill them. And they would have the victims take off their clothing and prove to them that they did, in fact, not steal from them. Well, the victims tried to escape. The evidence showed that they may have appeared to run into the bathroom, trying to open up the window to escape, which left the palm print, and they were killed. Police learned Josh had been hit twice in the body and then a third time in his head. And Erica apparently had fired a fourth shot at Jeannie, but missed, which was where they found the bullet hole under the sink. And then she would later stab Jeannie in the abdomen with a knife. And then the couple would try to cover up the scene. They would get cleaning materials, detergent, rags, cloths to clean this up. They would even go to the local hardware store to buy a new bathroom door, since the bullets had been fired through that door, and other repairs to try to cover up the fact that something very bloody had just occurred in this bathroom. But police were still able to find DNA evidence, and the couple was not able to clean up the entire scene. As many people know, it's almost impossible to be able to completely clean up something like that without there still being some trace of DNA or other trace evidence. Suspect Erica had also reported to police that while she was cleaning up the crime scene, she witnessed her husband in the bathtub with both victims' heads. So keep in mind, they had both been dismembered, and he was digging out the slug from Josh's head so he could keep it as a souvenir. It just goes to show how sick and twisted they both were. From him removing the slug as a trophy to Erica wearing Josh's wedding ring around her necklace and getting a tattoo as a reminder of where she stabbed Jeannie is pretty sickening. They both wanted to keep this thrill of these risky behaviors going for themselves. They really enjoyed it, and it really showed in this case that when they started out burglarizing places, it just wasn't fun for them anymore, and they needed to up the ante, so to speak. And then it led to this disturbing, heinous crime. So going back to sentencing, because Erica's gun was used in Josh's murder, Benjamin was only sentenced to 38 years for one count of second-degree murder. But Erica, who had once made a deal with prosecutors, which was later denied, she would be convicted of both murders and sentenced to life. That was how they were caught. Pretty crazy story of a couple gone rogue and enjoying the high life of murder. Pretty sickening. But that is my story for this week. And I will be back again next week for another true crime story. I'll take care for now.
Crime Hive. True Crime Buzz.